Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
You guys are so funny. These guys are a trip, aren't they? Give them hands. Well, friends, welcome. Those of you guys who are joining online as well. Just want to start off by saying I love this community. Love this church. Love everything about it. Last weekend was wow. Friends, we ran out of chairs last weekend. If you weren't here, we were outside. Yeah, let's give it up for all of those people who jumped in and like started serving. For those of you who actually were not part of the volunteer staff and you became part of the volunteer staff on Sunday morning, as in you stayed and you set up chairs, I mean, you tore down and brought chairs back into the space back here. Thank you so much. But man, it was so special because we baptized people and the stories behind them, I wish I could tell you. I don't have permission to, but they're so powerful. And so it just mattered so much. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you is a blessing. And I want to just say, man, you guys are back again. So, hey, give yourself a hand because tell you what, yeah, you're like, yes, I barely made it, but you made it. You made it. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue our series on why Jesus. Okay, so if you're joining us for the first time, we've been talking about several claims that Jesus made about himself. And the idea is, like, why not all the other options? Like why Jesus and why not all the other options? Now, one thing about this modern world that we're living in is that we have a lot of, what's that word? Options. What is it? We have a lot of what? Options. Friends, if you go on Instagram and you search something, you look for a product, what happens after that? You see it all the time. Instagram will tell you, hey, there's this option. You got this option. You got this option. You got this option. And your whole feed is all about ads about what you might want in your life. Now, have you ever made a bad decision on Instagram? Okay, actually, don't answer that if you're a single adult. You're like, I did. I slipped into some DMs. And I'm trying to moonwalk back out of it, you know, like that was a bad thing. I've gotten into, maybe it's Amazon. I've actually gone into Amazon and have gone into all kinds of things where I'm like, oh, what about this? This is a better option. This is a better option. And sometimes, regardless of the product, like even health products, like I get caught in those health product things, okay? People promise certain things. They're like, this will happen. This will happen. And I'm like, It's true. This person looks like I want to look like, so it has to be true, right? And I'm like, no, it's not true. No, it's not true at all, right? So when it comes to religion and spirituality, there's so many options out there. The difference, though, is that Jesus didn't make claims about, like, having the right kind of religious teachings or the right philosophy. He didn't make claims about him knowing the way to God. He made claims about himself. Like, so when he would make claims, he wouldn't say, like, I know the way to God. No, he would say, I am God. Yeah, like, I am the person. And so the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this I am statements that he's made. And so we kicked off talking about, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Then he talked about how I am the bread of life. Last week on Easter, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, the difference between Jesus and Instagram personalities is, there's a lot of difference, is that he actually can back up the claims. So we celebrated Easter. Easter was Jesus saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he said, I'll prove it to you. And he did. He died and he rose again. And that's why it matters. It matters because his claim actually changed the world. It split history in two. It gave us our birthday So your birthday is based on, if you don't know, if you don't even believe in Jesus, it's based on Jesus's death. Like, that's when the calendar started. So it's like 19 whatever you are. And so it's like this idea that Jesus's claims have changed the world. So when Jesus says, hey, I'm the way to God, or I am God, or if you're trying to figure out your spirituality, listen to me, I think we need to pay attention. And my goal in this series has really been about not people to talk to people, not who are already convinced, but there are people, my friends, who are just not convinced. I mean, I know there are people who are watching online, and I grew up with some of them, and they're from different faiths. And there's always a conversation about, well, why Jesus? Why Jesus? And so this morning, I want to take another statement about what Jesus made about himself and explain to you why he says what he says and how he actually backs it up. He backs up his claims. So the phrase is, when Jesus called himself, he says, I am the light of the world. Okay, say it with me. I am the what? Light of the world. Like, turn to your neighbor and say, you're the light of the world. Yeah. Like, some of you guys are like, no, you're not, though. I'm not, no. Just turn to your, if you have like a significant other, you're like, you're the light of my world. Just tell them that. The light of my world. Okay? Or the better statement would be is, you are the light of your own world. Okay? Yeah, that's the reality of it. So let's look at the claims of Jesus. Okay? So this, we find the statement in John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more. He spoke to the people what? Once more. Okay, so that's important. And said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. So there's a, if you follow me, not if you believe in me, not if you go, hey, I believe you're true, and I think I love your ideas, and I can agree with that. No. If you would follow me, then you won't walk in darkness. So there's a sense of like, there's a relationship that I want you to start. I want you to come with me to together we're going to walk. And when we walk together, you won't walk in darkness. So he's inferring something, that if you walk alone, you walk in darkness. There might be a darkness. And he says, if you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that what? Leads to life. So Jesus invites us into a relationship that we have to walk with him to walk in the light. Now, what that means is, if we don't walk with him and then we don't face any difficult issues in our life, and people are not complicated, because people be complicated. They are. Relationships are so tough. And you wish it got easier. In your 20s and your 30s, it's so rough. But then you turn your 40s, there's a chance of major betrayal in your 40s and 50s as well. Things are tough. Life is hard. But God's saying, hey, I just don't want you to walk in darkness. And what would that look like spiritually? Because some of us, I think we walk around, or we might be walking around in darkness. Maybe we're trying to figure out a decision we're supposed to make, and we just don't know where to go. And Jesus is inviting us by saying he is the light of the world. Now, when you hear this, you're thinking about your own life, as I'm thinking about my life. But when the people who were there heard this, if you were Roman, if you grew up in a Roman environment, then basically what happened is that you would initially think that this claim that he's making is connected to a god that the Greeks and the Romans already worshipped. You see, the phrase, light of the world, the god who is the light of the world, was already taken. It was taken by a guy named Apollo. Apollo. Have you ever heard of Apollo? Yes, Zeus's son. Now, the story of how Apollo came to be is complicated, because Zeus had an affair and Apollo was born and all kinds of nonsense. But the issue is that there are people in that crowd who would worship, who would acknowledge that they already have a god, and he is Apollo, and he is the light of the world. If you had a Greek background, he was called Apollo Helios. And he was the sun. He was the light. He gave sustenance. He illuminated things. He provided things. He was the light of the world. And so when Jesus says this, and again, by the way, if you've been tracking with us in this series, if you haven't, you can check it out. Jesus is making a lot of claims in this book of John, where you find that he seems to be intentionally bringing up other gods of that time. And he's saying, on purpose, I'm the bread of life because I know you have a God for that. I am the resurrection of life because I know you have a God for that. And then here he says, I'm the light of the world, and I know you have a God for that. But here's the problem. Here's the difference, I would say. The difference is, Jesus is saying, the light that I want to give you does two things. The light of God that's provided for humanity does two things. I don't know about your other gods, but I want you to know the first thing I want you to know that God's light, the light that I'm talking about, it protects. It's a light that protects. So if you're taking notes, God offers a light that protects. And I'll give you the second one as well. God's light is a light that protects and it provides. Protects and what? Provides. It protects. Now, this is a very different concept to the people who were living at that time. Because they were not thinking of a light that protects. They were thinking of a light that sustains, maybe a light that helps out, but not protects. So when the Romans are listening to this, they're like, okay, this guy is talking about that he's the light of the world. He's talking about a relationship with a god. And the Greek gods were not relational gods. They were relational in terms of they were transactional relationships. That means you did something, you pleased the gods, it was good. But it was not a relationship. So it's very different. So if you're in the crowd and you have that background, you kind of go, okay, where is he going? But what about everybody else? Everybody else there, we're probably a lot more Jewish people there. They're thinking, okay, what is this rabbi talking about? And there were, in fact, religious leaders there as well. So why does Jesus make this claim? And then why does he do it right there? Well, if you were in the crowd, the reason why you would wonder this is because of what just happened a few minutes later. You see, something happened a few minutes back. Not later, but back. A few minutes back, something happened. And then Jesus says, I am the what? Light of the world. So in context, what happened? Like, what happened to make Jesus say that? I'll tell you what happened. What happened is that Jesus was in the temple teaching, and these religious leaders brought a woman and brought her to the light. They revealed that she had an adulterous affair. And they brought this woman to her and they said, Moses says to stone her, what do you say? What do you say? So that is what happened before Jesus made the statement. So they are exposing, just think about what's happening here. They're exposing this person to the light because they're so religious and so pure, right? But we know they were just trying to trick Jesus. And what should we do? So Jesus, if you remember, what does he do? Well, let's just go back to the story here. Let's go back into context here. John 8 tells us, he says, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. So he drops down and he starts doodling. Now, first of all, does Jesus doodle? That's a theological question. Write that down. Someone, let's look that up. Does Jesus doodle? You guys doodle. Okay, if you're taking notes and if I go off somewhere, you're like, I'm going to draw his face, you know? Okay, I mean, I need to doodle. I doodle for a living, okay? I need to do that. It might be part of my whatever makeup, but I gotta just doodle stuff all over. When I'm writing sermons, I'm doodling all the time. Jesus is recorded for the first time in history that he was doodling. Or was he? They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. You guys remember that? Then he stooped down and what? Doodled in the dust again. Like he wrote down, hey, I'm not done yet with this painting or this masterpiece or whatever. Like he goes back down. What is he doing? And if you know the story, when he said that, they all stopped, right? They stopped everything, and then they all just started walking away, right? The older ones first, apparently, because they had a lot of stuff they were not happy about. So what is going on, and why was Jesus doing this? And what is that doodle? Do we have a picture of that doodle? Do we? You see, he was talking to religious leaders. So what that means is that when Jesus did something, he always did it intentionally. So what was he talking about? You see, I think he was talking about this. He was talking about the fact that in Jeremiah 17, verse 13, let me just read this to you. It says, "Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the," what? "Dust. For they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water." I think Jesus was like, you're religious and you know your Torah. You know your history. Let me just illustrate what you are doing right now. What you are doing by bringing light, bringing this person into the light, what you're doing to trap this person, what you're doing right here, you are people who have forsaken God himself. You pretend to be religious. You pretend to do that. See, any religious system that loves drawing attention to sin and bringing people out and shaming them, Jesus is saying, you are those people whose names will be written in the sand. And they'll be dust. They will wither away. No one will remember you. But this woman will be remembered. Jesus comes in, steps in, and goes, here's the deal. After this, what happens, right? What happens? He says, he stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do what? I. Go and sin no more. That's it. Like, wow. And right after that moment, he says, hey, let me just tell you, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. I'm the light that leads to life. You see, in context, Jesus is saying, I'm the light of God that protects people when they sin, when they mess up, when they find themselves in places where they never should have been. I'm the light of the world that covers people. I'm the light that illuminates the possibility of a new future, not exposes your sin to make you live in guilt and shame in your life. I am that God. You see, this phrase, I'm the light of the world, should never be taken out of context from what just happened minutes before. Jesus is looking at you and going, hey, I know that there is a religion, there is maybe even historical, like your church history that has caused you to just live in shame and guilt and pain and trauma, but I am not that God. So why Jesus says, I am the God who does not expose you. I'm the God who protects you. And I've always been that God. He's always been that God. And you might say, you know what? I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Naeem, but I don't know if I've seen that in my life played out. I don't know if in my past that's really happened. And I would beg to differ. I think God protects us from things that we don't even know about. See, what's interesting about here is like if you take those people, and if Israel, if those people represent us in a sense of the story of us, how God treats us, then you go back to the history of us or history of the Israelites, you find that God began to lead them out of Egypt. If you know that story, God led them out of Egypt, and he led them by a cloud in the day and a pillar of, anybody remember? Fire at night. But did you know what the cloud and fire did during the day and night? Here we find out. Let me just read this to you. It's pretty profound. The Exodus 14 says, the pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. So the pillar would at night would move from the front to the rear of the people. So there were millions of people moving out, and there you had these Egyptians following them. And basically it said is they were moving in one direction. You had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, but at night what would happen is this cloud would move back, move from the front to the back and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptians and the Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned into what? Fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and the Israelites did not approach each other all night. See, I've always heard the story, right? And maybe you have, that God has leads us. And the Egyptians are great. It's a great story of, like, you know, how we need to get out of Egypt and God wants to lead us. But have you ever heard the story where that when night falls, when it gets really dark at night, when it gets dark in your world, that God actually moves from the front, leading you to the back, protecting your back and having your back? And here, clearly, God says, at night, when it's really dark, when it's really dangerous, I'm going to come and protect you. Because the light of God that Jesus talks about, who he is, does what? It protects. It protects. It protects you. Here, Psalm 119 says, by your words, I can see where I'm going. By your what? Words, I can what? See where I'm going. They throw a beam of what? Light on my path. And friends, this word is not just a Bible scripture or a verse that you love. The words that he's talking about is in the context that when you decide to take and believe that Jesus is the light of the world and you begin to follow him and he begins to communicate with you, the words are in context of a relationship that you have with him where you go, I think you're telling me to do this. I think you're, and you're moving with him. His words. Have you ever had a prompting? And you can't explain it. You're like, I just don't think I should do this. I don't think I should be here. I don't think so. And it's not your anxiety talking. It's something else. It's God's word. He says, don't go there. Friends, I can't tell you how many times God has saved me from stuff, protected me, protected my peace, protected my heart, protected my body, just by leading me and prompting me and for me to just follow him. He's protected me from so much. And man, and from so much trouble. He saved me from so much trouble over the years. And what's funny is you can look back and think, oh my gosh, he has. But God has done this. And God wants to do this in your life. That's why Jesus. So God's light also provides, though. It provides something. Like, so what does it provide? It provides illumination, yes. But it provides something that I feel that for it's a game changer for us. God's light provides us a new way to make decisions in our life. A new way to make decisions in our life. What does that mean? Well, research says that you and I make about 33 to 35,000 decisions a day. Like, I don't even know how that's possible. But then with my mind, I'm probably 65,000, right? Because I change my mind all the time. I'm like, and then I go, what was I doing? What am I doing? What's happening? All these decisions. And do you know, and I know this, for some of us, decisions that we make, right, the sum of them equal the kind of life we have. Like just health-wise, if you make really poor decisions, what's going to happen? I mean, you can take all the supplements that Instagram is selling. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. If you make poor decisions, there are some serious consequences. Hello. But what do? Because we have all these decisions. It's not just our health. It's for our family. It's for our career. It's for our dating situation, whatever we want to call it. You know, it's a peace of mind. Oh, how do we do it? See, I want to offer that God's light actually provides certain things for us, and he wants us to move into it. So what does that mean? What does he mean by that? Here, let me show you. Hebrews 4 says this: for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and what? Marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You see, I don't know the kind of religion you grew up with. Like if you grew up in Christianity, and if you're conservative Christianity of any kind, of maybe even Catholic, the idea, the big idea is a good life equals that you follow God's will. And so in decision-making, it's always, I want to do God's what? Will. What is God's will? Like, God, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to marry her? Do you want me to get this job? Do you want me to do that? Now you might have grown up and not conservative. You're like, I've never had a thought. Okay, well, good for you. But for those of us, we've been concerned about that. Concerned about, like, what is God's will? God, I just want to know your will. God, just tell me your will. God, just tell me your will. And the deal is that I will make good decisions if I know your what? Will. I think what Jesus is different is that he offers something that other religions don't. See, other religions also want you to do their will. Like Allah, the God of Islam, wants you to do his will. He wants you to live the kind of life he requires you to live. It's about doing his will. The gods want you to do their bidding and their will. And so if you are not even into God, you might go, I'm into the universe, bro. Okay, well, the universe wants you to do its will. Because if you don't, then karma is coming back to get you. So there's all kinds of idea of like, okay, I just need to do the will of someone else. And if they just tell me, I'll live my life. And so what you're signing up for in that kind of mentality is a life of obligation. That's it. And say maybe you grew up in a Christianity that it was a life of obligation. Hey, we go to church. I don't care if you're sick. We go to church. We do this. You will not be wearing that. You will not be doing this. You will not. There is a lot of like, hey, we are trying to please the gods up there. Get it together. God's will. And see, I think that especially this passage where it talks about that God's will, God's word is alive and active. It means that God's word, not just the scriptures, because if you take it out of context, you'll go, oh, God's word means the Bible. For the Bible is active and alive and active. No, friends, the Bible is a library, okay? So many books. The word of God, that phrase is this idea of like God speaking to you. When God speaks to you, he asks you questions that are deeper. They're not on the surface. They have a nuance to them. Can you say the word with me? They have a what? A nuance. A nuance means they go a little deeper. They look at the subtle things. They look at the details. At Mosaic, you know what we say? God is in the details, not the devil. Because God cares about the details of your life. He knows. He doesn't just know what you want. He knows how you would want it. He knows the details. People feel special, right? When they're provided for and they cover all the details. Details make all the difference. And friends, in decision making, God says, I want to provide a light for you. I want to provide God my word to you that asks you questions, that goes between, it actually asks you why you want what you want. Not what, but why you want what you want. If you allow God's light to, in your life, illuminate, then it'll begin to show you the kinds of decisions you have been making and the kinds of things you need to consider when you're making other decisions. For some of us, we're like, okay, I just surface. And I'll just be honest with you. I think I can easily be a surface guy. And then I just stop and I have to ask myself, okay, what's the nuance behind this? What's the details behind this? What am I not seeing here? Have you ever signed up for something and not read the fine print and got in trouble? Oh my gosh. That's why I'm like, the devil's in the details. Well, not really. That was me, okay? It's all about that, isn't it? So what is Jesus offering? He's offering us, okay, his word that asks us deeper questions. But he's also moving us, rescuing us, friends, from this idea that Christianity is about doing God's will. You're like, what? What are you saying? See, here's the difference. The difference is that we want to be so certain when we are doing things that we want to know for a fact that it is God's will. And there's a difference between certainty and clarity. And we get those mixed. The Christian life can be easily about, I just want to be certain if it's God's what? Will. I just want to be certain if it's God's will. Now, what if Jesus is offering not a certainty that it is God's like will or direction, but a clarity to make your own decisions? What if your relationship with God is never for you to always be certain if this is God's direction? Instead, your relationship with God is to have clarity of mind so you can see clearly, so you can make the right decisions for yourself. See, for some of us, you're like, well, that's not spirituality. Why not? Do you know what Jesus did? When he came stepped into human history, and then he lived a life, he died and he sacrificed and he rose again. He came back again. Do you guys remember? He came back again and he told the disciples he was doing something that the world had never seen before. He was breaking down. He was removing God from this temple worship. And he said, you no longer need to show up to temples. Remember, if you remember the Easter story, you remember that the veil in the temple was what? Torn. There was a significant sign that says, I'm removing this access to God out of the temple. And then he said, you are the temple of the what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so why doesn't it not make sense that if you and I have the God Spirit inside of us, then we have God speaking to us, and he's saying, stop worrying about a certainty if this is my will. Listen, see clearly, and make the best decisions. And guess what? If you make a wrong one, I will move from the front to the back, and I will protect you. I've covered you. I'm going to cover you. But if you keep waiting for certainty, you're not going to move. You're not doing anything. But if you know that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the grave lives inside of you and me, then we can have this relationship that moves us forward, knowing that we can trust the Spirit of God in us, leading us to make the right decision. Some of you, you know, you should have stopped that relationship 6 months ago. And you were like, I'm praying about it. And God's like, I don't know what you're doing. Why are you praying about it? Why, what? You have everything you need. Make the call. But I don't know. I got you. Make the call. No, I just want you to know. I want to sign. Oh my gosh. Seriously, right now. Please, for the love. See, if you ever get a sign that's like so out there, so obvious, that is God's last straw. Oh my gosh. All right, let's do this. Because he's already speaking to you. He's already talking to you. He's moving you forward. You see, that's the difference between other religions and why Jesus. See, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. Again, says, be in a relationship with me. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, if you read the accounts of Jesus when he came back, he literally breathed on the disciples, what? The Holy Spirit. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He gave it to the world, signifying he has it, he's given us to the world. So he's saying, I want you to walk with me. And when you walk, you won't walk in darkness. But some of you are not even walking. You're stuck. You're not moving. And it's shame, it's guilt, it's serious amount of regret. Other parts of your life, you're walking and running. This part of your life, you're not doing anything. And he's like, hey, I'm inviting you to know that I'm the light of the world. And if you would just, not believe me, if you would just follow me, as in when I talk to you, as if when you hear me, move. Just move. I don't know what else. Just move. Just move. I have you. I have you. You won't walk in darkness. And then I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you to life. I'm going to lead you to the life you want. Friends, I don't know if you know this, but God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be happy. As a parent wants their kids to be happy, God wants you to be happy. Yes, he wants to shape you and all that. He wants to protect you. But Jesus is offering something, not a life that all the other religions offer. And that is, honestly, there are good religions out there. But it ends up just a life of obligation. A life of servitude. A life of following a certain path of this religion or philosophy. And Jesus says, no, I'm actually come to give you freedom. And so the most courageous thing you can do today is to just follow him. So what does that look like? For the light of God to come and influence all the decisions of your life. Is there certain things in your life that you're like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to give up? What if you would? What if you would? For a season, be the most courageous person right now in this moment and go, this situation, this relationship, this career, this financial stuff that I'm in, like what would happen if you let God's light lead you? And I think it would change the world. It would change your world first. So let's stand together. Can we do that? I want to pray for you. Is that cool? Let's close our eyes for a minute. As your eyes are closed, I want you to just consider, what could God be saying to you? Maybe you want to whisper that. God, what are you saying? Maybe for some of you, you're feeling a sense of clarity in this decision that you've been wrestling with. There's a sense of, I see a little bit more clearly now. For some of us, there's a struggle right now. Because you've allowed God in so many other areas of your life, but you're just afraid. You're afraid to let him lead you and guide you, partly because there's been a past of you thinking and hoping and praying and believing that it was certainly God's will for you to do this. It was God's will for you to say yes to that. It was God's will for you to accept this, and then it was not, apparently. And you don't trust yourself. So I want to pray for all of you, for all of us. God, would you be the light of our world, Jesus? Would you be the God who makes the claim to illuminate everything in our lives and then, in fact, do it? God, would you move supernaturally where you begin to speak to us like you've never spoken to us before? It seems like we were able to hear. God, there are certain things that are in the darkness that needs to come out in the light. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about some things that we need to be careful about. God, there are some conversations. There are some things that if we do not realize, if we don't see the details, the fine print of what's really going on, God, we're going to be in a little bit of a mess. So God, I pray for illumination this morning. I pray, God, for protection, because you're the God who protects. I pray that you're the God who provides clarity, and I pray for that. And God, I pray that today as we leave, though, in the next couple of minutes, we would do something that we haven't done in quite a while, and that we would give it all to you. We would just surrender our lives to you, allowing your light to come and invade us. God, I pray that we have the courage to do that. God, speak to us as we respond. For some of us, it might be lighting a candle, knowing why we're doing this. There's clarity in that. For others of us, there's clarity in the fact that we are receiving communion, knowing what this means. That God, you've given us your spirit. You were connected to you. There's a communion with you that we get to experience. Others of us, God, we put things on the cross going, God, this is the darkness that I'm putting on the cross. Would you light it up? God, I pray you meet us as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.